Hey, it is right, all right. It is Eric, and we are back for another episode from the Brave Institute, where we are helping Gen Xers reclaim the life they envision amid this mixed-up Facebook, social media, Instagram world in which we live. And today I wanted to talk to you about the crashing down of the American dream, and in particular with reference to Ray Dalio, who's been in the news recently for some of the ideas that he's promoting on Squawk Box and CNBC and with his philanthropist work. Ray Dalio, in case you don't know him, he's the chairman of Bridgewater Associates, which is probably like one of the most successful hedge fund managers out there, meaning that dude makes millions and millions and millions of money, of dollars, and he is a capitalist, as a self-proclaimed capitalist and at heart. So it's kind of interesting to see that he is claiming, or what the media has repurposed as the fact that, you know, sort of capitalism doesn't work, and they would associate that with some suggestions that he is proposing. And yes, he does agree that people like him should be taxed more. But I wanted to talk to you that about because it fits right exactly into what we're talking about here with Gen X's vanishing American dream and reclaiming the life we envision amid this mixed up Facebook, social media, Instagram world in which we live. And these ideas that Ray brings forward, or that I might bring forward, are really challenging for a lot of people, because to suggest that capitalism doesn't work is kind of like right against the core of the American spirit, right? The American values. And to suggest that, you know, that something's broken is also really hard in a lot of senses, because life is certainly better now. I mean, for everyone than it was 50 or 100 years ago. There's less poverty, there's more stuff. But amid all that, there's increasing depression, there's increasing competition, mounting economic stratification. The rich are getting richer, and there's a growing disparity between the super rich and the have-nots. And there's also a diminishing and a declining and shrinking middle class. And this is sort of very, very concerning, because it's the middle class which buoys the economy. It's nice that we have the bottom quartile raising up, but there have been huge changes within it. Now, if you listen to Ray Dalio's talk that he gave on CNBC, you'll see that he is focusing a lot of attention on the economic or the educational front. And that may be because his wife is doing a lot of philanthropic work in that area. He's just put together a matching fund, $100 million matching fund with the state of Connecticut, who's also put together $100 million to come and help schools. And that's wonderful. And that's a fantastic thing. And that's just a great thing. But I would suggest that in my research, and, you know, I went into and put together and leaned on my background as an economist, and in my formal training there, and merged that study of economics with hopefully some entertaining stories to make an attempt to make the situation of what's going on today far more relatable. The goal has to be able to help Gen Xers come to term with and better understand what's been happening around them. Why success is so tough today for Gen X as compared to the way that success developed for the lucky few. Now, the lucky few are, of course, the so-called silent generation, the generation right before the baby boomers. And I know a lot of them would wince to say, well, success didn't come for us very easily. We had to work very hard at it. And that is indeed very, very true. And it is probably a lot easier today to get started in a business. You can start a business online in about 15 minutes. And there are certainly many more conveniences out there available to us that make life easier, which is why this conversation topic is very difficult for Ray Dalio to have, and why he gets so much pushback, especially when he is sort of putting the blame on capitalism, and he's on and he is a capitalist. But, you know, so when we look at that, we have to look a little bit deeper than just the education. It's really, as my research would have shown, and on what a lot of the generational economists would also agree with, those people who look at the study of the cohorts, the generational cohorts, the baby boomers, the Gen Xers, the lucky few before all of them, and then, of course, the millennials after the Gen Xers, is to say, you know, what is it that has caused the American dream to disappear. Now, what is the American dream? The American dream is not Americana. It's not the American life. It's not the easy American life with a life of abundance and stuff. That is not the American dream. Like, by definition, the American dream is moving up socioeconomically as compared to what your parents experienced. So the move that they made. So what we want in life is hopefully that everything's getting better for the majority of people, most of the, you know, as the years pass on. That is to say, we're improving our economic situation. We're moving up the rungs of the ladder. And if you envision, that's probably a pretty good analogy. What has happened, and Gen X is the first generation that has not moved up rungs of the ladder. At the bottom ends of the ladder, there are more people that are arriving and growing up the ladder. And at the top end of the ladder is stretching. You know, the ladder is getting longer. It's like extending out beyond so that the rich are getting further away from the rest of the middle class. But the middle class, which is the majority of people, is staying right where it was on the economic ladder. It is not moving up. And so we sit there and look as Gen Xers, which is, again, the first generation to not experience the American dream, not to move up the ladder. We sit there and wonder, what the heck happened? How is it that this all came to be? And Ray Dalio suggests that it's the education. And certainly the education is one component of it, and it's a very important component of it. But education implies so many other factors. It implies sort of the moral fabric that is put around them. You know, education, the educare, is different from instruction. So the idea, I speak Italian, parlo italiano perfettamente. And when you look at the word, when they talk about education that you get at school, they use the word instruction. So the literal word that they use is instruction. And instruction in, you know, math, science, and all those other things are very, very important. But to educate someone, it has a broader meaning, and it would apply to educare, è molto educato, meaning he has a very refined sort of way about him. He has a good family life. He has a good experience. He's very educated in the way that he was brought up. So it has a bigger meaning, and the school alone is not going to be able to provide that. And what has changed significantly through the course of the society and economic norms is not just the economic standards and the way that the monetary policy has changed significantly since Ray Dalio and the lucky few before him were kids, the monetary policy coming off the gold standard in the 70s. But also what's changed significantly is the moral fabric of America through the course of that time. So the ideas that that his generation, the people, Ray Dalio was born in 1949, and that is the beginning of the baby boom, and the lucky few were born about 10 years before that, that the moral fabric that they experienced is far different than the moral fabric that Gen X experienced growing up and being born right in the middle of the 60s. You know, LSD was coming on to the scene right at the beginning of the 60s. That's when that whole, you know, the free love and movement thing took off. Women's lib took off. The gold standard, we came off the gold standard from a monetary and economic policy, and that changed significantly. If you were aware and awake and exposed to what was going on, you could take advantage of it monetarily. But what you're watching happen around you is the crumbling of sort of the moral fabric that goes on. Now, what this means for us is society at large at the macro situation is very concerning. And it's not probably that anything that you or I can do much about, and it takes great leadership to get us through that. And it's nice that people like Ray Dalio are trying to change that. It's nice that some of our politicians are trying to change the composition of America in order that it can improve itself. That's just a wonderful thing. But what we look at, and as we start to move that conversation forward to the bigger and broader sphere, is still this remaining frustration at the individual level. How is it that the individual is supposed to get ahead? And as with most things, you know, life is what we make of it. You know, we got some lemons, we make lemonade. And our ability to be happy and content with our situation is ultimately a choice individually. And so what I've found is that looking into this research is that the ability to go back and apply some of the principles, the moral fabric, the moral principles that developed the lucky few, that is the generation right before the baby boomers and the beginning of the baby boomers, to take those principles, what I call the brave principles, and apply them to ourselves individually is the formula, the recipe that's going to help us succeed. These brave principles are to have a beautiful perspective on life, to have some realistic ambitions. That is not to say to have short ambitions, but to be realistically so that we don't get frustrated within ourselves. To have some ambition, to have some ambition to go out and do something against our strong moral values, against our values. And if we do that and we apply that day in and day out, we will eventually get what is expected out of life. So I encourage you to check out more on the site and what we're doing here within the podcast. Subscribe and stay posted to learn about more of what we can do to reclaim the life we envision amid this mixed up Facebook, social media, Instagram world in which we live. And with that, I'll cut you loose and we will see you later.